This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for our program. We are 35 days away from the finish line in the race for the presidency of the United States. On November 3rd, 5 weeks from tonight, we will likely know whether it's Donald John Trump getting a second term in office or Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. becoming the 46th American president. Right now, polls show Biden in front, but as we know, a lot can happen in 5 weeks. And tonight, center stage in Cleveland are the candidates, the two major aspirants for the presidency of the United States. And we know in the past that debates have made a difference in campaigns. Think back to 1960. It's thought that John Kennedy scored a narrow win over Richard Nixon because he outperformed them in debates. That was the first time in the television age that we saw candidates go toe-to-toe, and Kennedy knew how to use the medium much better than did his opponent, Richard Nixon. 1988, at that time, believe it or not, in 1988, George Bush the first and Michael Dukakis were in a neck-and-neck race for the presidency, but as we remember in a debate with Dukakis, George Bush delivered a knockout blow when Bernie Shaw, the moderator from CNN, asked the governor of Massachusetts what he would do if his wife were raped and murdered. Would he be in favor of the death penalty? And Dukakis said no, and he did so rather coldly, and it resulted in the American people saying, this guy doesn't have a heart, doesn't have a soul, and Bush ended up winning 40 states. So will we have surprises? Probably not to that level, because these candidates are well known. Donald Trump, of course, was well known before he ever ran for office. He was one of the best known people in the world based on his performance on The Apprentice, which netted him, according to the New York Times and its examination of his tax returns, $447 million that he spent on other matters that were not as successful. And, of course, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. was elected to the United States Senate when he was 29 years old. He's now almost 78 years old, so it's almost 50 years since his first electoral win. And with us to talk about it at the start of our show is Congressman Henson Moore. He served Baton Rouge with distinction on Capitol Hill for six terms, 1975 to 1987, winning a hotly contested race with Jeff LaCaz in the year of 1974. And then he became the deputy chief of staff to President Bush. And in 1992, he was there when Bush was seeking reelection. We know it did not go well. And one of the reasons given is that Bush did not perform particularly well in debates. And he knew that he was in with a tough customer in Bill Clinton, who was exceptional at television. And at one point, we remember vividly that President Bush looked at his watch, like, how much time do I have before I can get out of here? And he ended up losing the election rather soundly to President Clinton. But anyway, Henson Moore, good to have you with us as always.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be with you.
And for those who'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757, Republican Henson Moore, who is a Bush Republican, meaning I'm just guessing that you probably are supportive largely of President Trump's policies, but you probably don't like his methods a lot. Would that be accurate?
Oh, you're amazing. Not only do you reach back in the last century with your firsthand knowledge of what's going on in politics, but you come up with something like that. I've never told anybody that, never said that in any kind of public situation, but you're exactly right. I view his policies as good and his personality is terrible. And I'm just one of those that thinks you vote for policy, not the person. But it's amazing you figured that out, because I haven't told anybody that.
Well, you're certainly not alone. And the question that Ray Strother asked a few weeks ago on this show was that how many of those people who are supportive of the president's policies, and by the way, the New York Times poll shows 54% of the American people do support his handling of the economy, are afraid or unwilling to say to a pollster that I'm going to vote for him, because now, as we know, there is a certain taint to being in favor of Trump in certain parts of the country, not in Louisiana so much, but in other parts of the country. you might lose your friends if you said you were for Donald Trump if you lived in New York or California. He's not going to win those states. But the question is, can he win Florida? Can he win Michigan? Can he win Wisconsin? Can he win Pennsylvania? And that's where the action was 4 years ago, and he won all four of those states. Where we are right now, 5 weeks before the election, some people believe, Charlie Cook, our dear friend, says it's over, that Biden has all but won this election. But do you think it's still possible for Trump to win this?
It's possible for the reasons that Ray Strother said. I remember far enough back in the last century that when Earl Long would win re-election for governor, you could never find anybody who said they voted for him. It's just one of those things that people in answering pollsters very often are very guarded in what they really think or what they really believe. Having said that, it would be, I think, an upset. I know Charlie Cook, you know, he's a fellow Louisianian, and I think he knows his stuff, and I don't see any polls showing that the president is leading or is winning. Polls, I sat in the White House during that re-election in 1992, and my job was to see to it that the White House and the campaign worked closely together. And so I went every night to a meeting of the campaign and saw the polling results every night. And those polling results were right. It showed President Bush in running for re-election was never ahead in the polls and did not win. And the whole hope was something would happen. Something would turn the voters around. And this late, this is getting late in a campaign. It's not too late, but it's getting late. What could change the voters' minds? We don't know. I think that nothing is going right for the president in that regard. You could say that people are very concerned about the virus, and yeah, there's some information that looks like we may have a vaccine maybe before the end of the year. Matter of fact, my wife is participating in field trials right now on one of them and hope they'll work. But there again, the president has a way of shooting himself in the foot through his personality. He's got people believing now that he's putting so much pressure to get the vaccine out that you can't trust the process. We may get something that's unhealthy. It's so I don't know if that was clever politics on the other side or whether it was his fault, but here's good news being twisted into bad news to where things aren't getting any better in people's minds, perhaps. The economy, slowly getting better, rather. But every day we see stories of people still unemployed, businesses still not reopening, and things are not good in the economy. And traditionally, the president that sits on a bad economy loses. That was why we think President Bush lost in 1992. So I don't see anything turning it around. And I'm not sure the debates can do that. I was listening to you discuss the debates, and experts have been poring over that for a long time. And most of them seem to say that debates really don't make that big a difference unless somebody screws up in a debate and causes a lot of attention to himself. I think that's entirely possible in this debate. President Trump seems to be, I won't say a loose cannon, but he sure says what he wants to say.
You think?
And I know we spent hours with President Bush, who had a long history in politics, working with him on phraseologies of things. And to be sure, when he talked to the press, he did not give an untoward or an unintended an explanation or people thinking he said something he really didn't say. This president seems to make those mistakes weekly, if not daily. And so, therefore, you know, it's entirely possible he could say something in this debate that would cause Biden to certainly win the election. But, you know, it all goes down, as you said, to somewhere around 7, 8, 9, 10 states. I think that it's a bigger list now because some states that he carried are in trouble now, Florida, Arizona, North Carolina, maybe Iowa. Those are places that, you know, he has to carry to even have a chance to win, and he has to carry the states he did before, which looked very problematic. This is going to be a debate, and it looks like an election of personalities, not policy. Biden is simply saying, you're a bad guy, and Bush is simply saying, you're a dummy, you don't know anything, you ought not be president, Sleepy Joe. That's personalities. And maybe that makes it easy for voters to pick the guy they want to vote for or against. But troubles me. I don't really think that's the way an election ought to turn, but that's the way this debate's liable to happen tonight, and it's the way this election's probably going to happen.
877-217-5757. We're going to take a 90-second break, and we'll go to Henry at the Country Club, who's been waiting patiently. He'll be a first caller for Henson Moore, former congressman, former deputy chief of staff for President George Herbert Walker Bush, who served America with distinction. From 1989 to 1993, he lost the election to Bill Clinton. His last stop in 92 on the campaign trail was in Baton Rouge, and that was because his good friend and close associate Henson Moore asked him to make it his last stop. Bill Clinton's the last Democrat to win in Louisiana. We'll talk about what's going to happen tonight in Cleveland when we return in 90 seconds. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We're honored to have the former U.S. Congressman Henson Moore, the second Republican elected to Congress in modern time after, from Louisiana, after David Connor Treen. And he served 12 years on Capitol Hill, lost a close race for U.S. Senate to John Breaux in the year of 1986. Now, he and Breaux debated, and it was pretty much a draw. But at that time, Louisiana trended Democratic, and in the end, John Breaux probably won because he had a D and Henson Moore had an R behind his name. And we know the situation has changed dramatically in Louisiana. Nationally, the country is divided, as we know. It's pretty much an even race on paper between a hypothetical Republican and a hypothetical Democrat. But tonight we have two people who have been around for a long time, one in politics, one in business. The American people know them well. And Henson Moore is right. Probably nothing will happen to change the inertia unless there's some gaffe or if there's some fistic encounter, something really unusual would have to sway a number of voters to make a difference in the election. And they'll do it two more times. And also there will be a vice presidential debate between Kamala Harris and Vice President Pence. 877-217-5757. We're pleased that this show now runs at 9 o'clock at night as well. So we're on 9 and 9. And tonight, of course, we will be preempted by the debate. But we've got Henson Moore in the house to take your calls. And as mentioned, we start with Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Congressman Moore. You know, I'm one that didn't ever vote for Congressman Moore. I always voted against him. But, Mr. Jim, you know, you got to respect a fellow that comes from the top of the top, being the assistant chief of staff to the President of the United States, comes back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and what's the first picture we see of him in the paper? Wandering waist-deep out in the University Lake, pulling up all that, those leaves and vines that are growing in there. You got to give the man credit for that, and I got to respect him for that because I haven't even done that, believe it or not. But I got a question. Congressman Moore, I understand and I disagree with you on Trump, but you agree with his policies, even though you hate the personality, and I can agree with the second part of that. My question for you is, how can you trust that he will carry out the policies that he claims that he'll carry out, because the guy has done nothing but try to enrich himself, as we saw, have seen during the past 4 years or 3.5 years, but as recent as this weekend with the tax situation and the $400 million debt he holds?
All right.
It's a fair question, Henry. And by the way, my wading around waist deep in the lake is not necessarily a mark of intelligence, but I don't, maybe you didn't intend it as that. Any event, I think that the president is pretty much lived by his campaign promises he made in 2016. He's made a point of trying to do everything he said he would do. And he has, or he's tried and failed on some things, like he did lower taxes. He did go to work to change the people in NATO paying more of what they're paying, the first president to ever do that, dead right. He is absolutely correct in that we have a bad trade deal with China, and he unilaterally, instead of going to the World Trade Organization, which doesn't meet very often, he unilaterally said, I got to take this on myself, and he did, and no president has ever tried to do that. There are a number of other things he's taken on, and he's tried to do, some successful and some less so. I happen to appreciate his appointments to the Supreme Court. I'm one of those that think the Constitution means what it says. People who think differently, of course, don't like his appointments. As to the point of enriching himself, I don't know how the New York Times got his tax returns. I spent time on the Ways and Means Committee, and I know for a fact those are protected. Nobody has a right to see your tax returns, Henry, other than the Ways and Means Committee can see them in executive session without your name on them to see what you're doing and to see if the tax laws need to be changed. And a prosecutor can get them, or the IRS can get them to look at to see if somebody's breaking the law. The interesting thing is, in what the New York Times said, they didn't talk about any evidence of any wrongdoing, that he did anything wrong. And as far as enriching himself, looks like he didn't do a very good job. Looks like he lost a hell of a lot more money than he made. And I don't see any evidence of enriching himself as president. He is going to pay taxes on his income as president. As far as his businesses are concerned, he's supposed to have divested himself from running them, and looks like they're in trouble. I think all of us know developers, and we know that sometimes they do well, sometimes they do poorly.
All right. And it is apparent that somebody gave these returns to the New York Times. And it's, I've said it yesterday, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that somebody close to the president gave the Times these returns, because the president probably knows he's going to lose this battle eventually to keep the returns concealed, and this puts him ahead of the story if he knew it was coming. And he certainly had a quick response when it came from the New York Times. And there are things in here that are not unfavorable to the president. It's mostly a sad story of a man who has puffed his chest about being so successful, and we find out he was anything but. But on the other hand, so far, depending on whether he took losses that were not real, but at this point we don't know that to be the case, so far it does not look like he's broken any laws. And that was the speculation that many had, and we will see. But it is curious that the president, who sues everybody that we know gets in his way, he has not threatened a lawsuit against the New York Times yet, and I doubt that he will, because the hunch here is that somebody close to the president was likely the person who leaked the returns to, you guessed it, the New York Times. Patrick at Ennis-Walda States. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning. I think it's funny how we're focused on the president's tax returns, which, nothing illegal there. He just took advantage of the rules that are already in place, that every person in real estate does, including myself, depreciation and all that. But yet we ignore Biden and the bribes from communist China, the bribes from the gas company to his son, Hunter Biden.
All right. And tonight the president, I'm sure, will be talking about those things, which, of course, have not been verified either. Those are allegations. But Henson Moore, if the president took advantage of the tax system, and apparently he did, why didn't he do something to change it? Because obviously we've got this huge, huge deficit, enormous debt, and it's because of people like Donald Trump who have lots of money and don't pay taxes. Why didn't he do something to change the situation?
Well, I'm not sure that's the tax law is extremely complicated, and every Congress sits down and takes a look at it and tries to see what they can do. Generally, wealthy people not paying enough in taxes, that's a good populist approach to take in tax law. But if you taxed them all at double the rate, you wouldn't do anything but a blip in the bubble of the deficit we have. Our economy was slow, and any time you cut taxes, you're taking revenue away from the federal government on the hope that the economy will expand, grow, and pay that money back, and then some. And that was beginning to happen when COVID hit. And so basically people who claim you cut taxes and you lose money, it's a bad idea, you can't prove them wrong right now. Those that claim that you get growth and you get money back, and I'm one of those, the COVID knocked that in the head.
All right. Well, we do know that Bill Clinton raised taxes and balanced the budget, left the United States with a surplus that was blown by President Bush II. And the deficit actually went down under Obama, but the debt didn't. It increased exponentially, and it's gone up crazy under Trump, and it was going that direction before COVID.
All right.
Daniel, you're on South Baton Rouge. Please be brief, Daniel.
Yeah. Donald Trump is a marked man, even inside of his party. People are scared to come up front with him, but they're not scared to go behind his back and say what they have to say about him. And this was somebody inside of his party, in his office, gave his tax information out, and I'm glad. So we can see what a loser he is.
All right. Well, it is curious. If you go to Washington, D.C., and you go by the Trump International Hotel, adjacent to the hotel, I mean, like, a sidewalk away, a half of a sidewalk, a few feet away, is the office of the Internal Revenue Service. 877-217-5757. We're pleased to have Hinson Moore, the erudite congressman from Louisiana, served Baton Rouge for 12 years on Capitol Hill. He's with us for another segment when we return after the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Often we hear about so-called October surprises in presidential elections, and this year it was a September surprise as the New York Times got access somehow, some way, for 15 years of President Trump's tax returns, showing that 10 of those years he didn't pay any taxes, and two other years he paid a total of $750. Now, if you believe the returns are accurate, then that means the president's not a very good businessman. And he campaigned, of course, as the best business person in the country, in the world, also the healthiest person to ever be president. And we found out otherwise. You can take a look at him and know he's not the healthiest person to ever be president. He won't be the healthiest person on the stage tonight. Joe Biden's actually in pretty good shape. President Trump is not. But the president has a way of captivating many people, and about 40% of the country are ready to go wherever he wants, anytime he says. If he asks for them to cast votes for him, you can bet the floor for this president is 40%, and he won last election with 46% of the votes. So he is not beyond winning again. And even though polls show Joe Biden in front, tonight the first debate will be the most prominent one. It's the one most people remember, and we'll see what happens in Cleveland with Chris Wallace, a good moderator from Fox News, asking the questions. 877-217-5757 if you have questions for Hinson Moore. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Congressman Moore. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Congressman Moore, was Bush 41 lying to the American people when he said that Clarence Thomas was the most qualified person to take Thurgood Marshall's place?
All right. The president did say that, but he wouldn't be the first president to engage in some hyperbole. Some would call that an innocent overstatement, not an outright lie. But what was your take on him saying that Clarence Thomas, I remember, was simply the best?
I think that you're right. I think it's just an overstatement. Every time a president, I don't care who it is, picks somebody from the Supreme Court, they generally want to reassure the American people that they're bright legal minds, honest people, smart people who will do a good job. And sometimes they go overboard in explaining how good they are. It turns out, I don't care whether Republican or Democrat, if you look at the quality of the legal minds on the Supreme Court, they've all been really pretty good,
now,
if not great.
Now, Congressman, I recall Jeb Bush, when he debated Donald Trump the first time in Las Vegas at the end of 2015, that was when Donald Trump said he was low energy, Jeb, the governor of Florida, and Jeb's response was, "Donald, you're not going to insult your way into the presidency." Well, look what happened. Now, is it impossible for a gentleman or a gentlewoman to be president? Do you have to get out there and mix it up and basically make an ass of yourself?
I think that's not just Donald Trump. I think that's the way politics are in the United States today. We're deeply divided, and it looks like the American people have moved toward an acceptance of personal attacks and personal insults. That wasn't the case when I was there. John Brown and I were good friends before the race, during the race, and after the race, and never said, and didn't need to say, and I think both sides would have been upset with their candidate if they had said, something of a personal attack. That was just something that wasn't acceptable back then. It is now. And I think that's a condemnation on the divide of our people today, is we are taking these races personally. We are attacking people personally, justified or not. And I don't think that's a high watermark in American politics.
David in Shenandoah. David, you're on with Congressman Moore.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Congressman. Do you feel that the dynamics of tonight's debate are going to be different due to the fact that we have a seasoned moderator in Chris Wallace? And do you feel that we'll find out who the real adult is in the room and it'll help people to vote their conscience?
You know, that's a good question. I agree with you on Chris Wallace, but I think a lot of our moderators in debates have been good and they've really tried to be fair. I don't think that's a real factor. I think the factor is how are these two gentlemen going to handle the debate. I think both of them are going to attack personally. I think that Biden will appear to be a higher class person. His attacks will be personal, though, against Trump. He lies. He doesn't say the truth. He's not a smart guy. He's not a good guy, whatever. How he comes up with, he's saying a lot of those things now on the campaign trail. And we know that President Trump seems to be a New York City brawler. I mean, you say something bad about him, he's going to attack you. And that's just not the way American politics, at least at the presidential level, has worked. Maybe for aldermen in New York City, or maybe even in some bigger cities, other cities around the country. But it's not something we're used to. I'm afraid this debate tonight is not going to be a high-level debate on policy. It's going to be a personal attack, each on the other.
William Anopoulos. William, you're on with Congressman Moore.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Congressman. And I just wanted to say that with Donald Trump's supporters, there's nothing that he can do wrong. But my question is, if you just use the loops in the tax laws, why did he hide the taxes?
Why did he not want to reveal this?
I think the reasons are obvious. Just as you're seeing the reaction today from the news that broke yesterday, he knew as a developer, if anybody got into his tax returns, they're going to see things that shock them, see things that can't be true, say things he's not honest. In fact, that's the job of the IRS, is to check those returns and on every taxpayer. And if something is not right, to audit them and to get it corrected. I think that he knew those tax returns were going to cause him such problems, he couldn't win in 2016. Okay, I don't know how they got out. Jim's got an interesting theory. They're out. Is that going to help him in his race? Absolutely not. The average American does not understand how complicated a business tax return can be. They just take the headlines. Look at the little amount of taxes he pays. Look at the amount I pay. And they're not looking at how did his businesses do. They lost money. You don't pay taxes when you lose money.
Skipper in Gonzales. Skipper, you're on with Congressman Moore. Please be brief. Hi, Skipper.
Yes, I heard that you said Donald Trump was less healthy than Joe Biden. I'm just curious, do you think that the mental capacity of Donald Trump is lesser than Joe's mental capacity right now?
I don't know, but I would say they're comparable. I don't think there's anything about Joe Biden to indicate that he has dementia, which is, of course, being implied. And I remember Ronald Reagan trying to help George Bush, and it worked. He called Michael Dukakis an invalid. In 1988, and, you know, in politics, sometimes people get carried away. But Trump is obviously trying to make Joe Biden look like a dunce and a guy who's totally lost it and can't even get to the stage. And sometimes, Henson Moore, when you make the guy look so bad and he turns out to look, well, maybe pretty good, it can backfire on you by lowering expectations.
Well, I just don't agree with that kind of politics to begin with. I just think it ought to be on policy. And in this case, there really is a policy divide between the progressives and the Democratic Party, how much they'll be able to accomplish under Joe Biden versus what Trump thinks ought to be accomplished, taxes or any other thing. There's really a real difference in the two candidates. I think Biden is more of a moderate Democrat. The question is he going to be pushed to the left by Bernie Sanders and AOC and many others?
All right. Caroline in St. Francisville, you're on with Congressman Moore. Hi, Caroline.
Hi there. I would love to get Congressman Moore's feedback on the exposure that the tax story has shown President Trump to be under with his $300 million in debt. Even for ordinary Americans, small debt can prevent obtaining a security clearance. Because.
All right. What about perhaps a security problem with the president being in debt? Several huge bills are due. If he wins a second term, does that create a security problem?
It could, and I see people talking about it. It could in the sense that whoever holds the debt might get him to do something not good for the country or not honest in order to delay the debt or pay off some of the debt. We've never seen that happen in my memory in American politics. Could it happen? The answer is yes.
Okay, James and Metairie. James, good morning. You're on with Congressman Moore. Hi, James.
Well, Jim, good morning. Hello, Congressman Moore. You talked about, sir, the personal attacks and the level of vitriol. I'm looking at an article from 2 weeks ago from Newsweek. Donald Trump retweeted a post from one of his followers, supporters, that claimed that Joe Biden was a pedophile.
All right. I didn't see that, but the president's tweets sometimes are over the top and, shall we say, unpresidential, Congressman Moore?
Yes, very much so. But then when I was in politics, there weren't any tweets. This whole thing about social media is something that's new, and the scary thing is that we have a lot of people, that's where they get their news.
All right, John in Livingston, please be brief. John, you're on with the congressman.
Good morning, gentlemen. I respect Congressman Moore, and I'm joining you late. I sure would like to know who he's going to vote for.
All right, I think we know. He's going to vote reluctantly for President Trump, based on what I heard. Is that fair?
Well, vote for his policies, yes.
Okay.
As opposed to the policies of the other guy. And I think that's the way everybody ought to vote, is not on personality, but what are they going to do?
Phil, we only have about 10 seconds for you, but please bring your question to Congressman Moore.
Yes, sir. So it's your party's policy to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
All right. Well, what about repealing the Affordable Care Act and perhaps Amy Coney Barrett being a deciding vote if it goes to the Supreme Court again?
I don't think it's going to happen. And I think I learned something in politics that I think most politicians know. Once you give something to the American people, it's hell to take it back.
All right. Well, Congressman Moore, thanks for being a great steward of the economy when you were in politics, and being a fine fellow and a great Baton Rougean and Louisianian, and it's always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. Happy birthday. We're back after this pause.